This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We're heading into the hotter months, and while most of us are used to slip, slop, slap, our pets don't have that option. For them, the heat can be dangerous, even deadly, and sometimes in ways we don't even think about. And joining us today to talk about keeping our furry family safe are Paul and Nick from Ready Vet Go. Paul and Nick, welcome back.
Thank you, Warren.
Now, let's start with heat stroke. When we talk about heat stroke in pets, what's actually happening inside their bodies?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is that temperature shifts their metabolism. So it sort of disrupts that really fine balance that we have where all of our organs and our blood supply, our heart and brain are happy and functioning normally. When that temperature goes significantly high, it causes inflammation in the body and it can just disrupt that whole process, that fine balance that we have, that homeostasis.
What's the first thing that someone might notice before it turns into a full-blown emergency?
I think the thing that we want people to be watching for is any sort of excessive panting outside of, you know, what regular exercise looks like. I think one of the biggest misconceptions as well about heat stroke is that it doesn't necessarily need to be 35, 40 degrees outside. Pets need a little bit of time to acclimatise to the changing weather. So sometimes, you know, if we've gone through winter and they haven't been exercising a lot and then we get a nice 25 degree day and they go for a longer walk because owners want to get out and about, that can occur at those times. So anything that's sort of excessive panting, prolonged panting, really red gums is a good sign as well. They're signs that we've kind of gone a little bit too far.
I often see people walking pets, let's say in the middle of summer, it can be 38, 39 degrees out there, and they're walking their dogs in particular on bitumen and pavement. I couldn't even stand on it with my bare feet. The pets must feel that. I mean, that can't be good for them. What do you reckon?
Yeah. You know, we would say to people that if you can't put the back of your hand on the pavement and be comfortable, then maybe consider that your pet won't be comfortable either. You know, despite the paw pads being thick, it's still sensitive tissue. And as we've talked about previously on the show, we've had pets who have really severely damaged those paw pads, which is firstly uncomfortable, second, dangerous. They can get infections, they can have all these issues, and you just avoid it. You can avoid it by avoiding those hot parts of the day, the peak midday sun, or using foot protection if they really do need to be outside and need to go toilet.
Little booties.
Yeah,
you can actually get booties.
Can you?
People thought I was funny for saying that on our show, but yeah, you can. You can actually get it.
So because some dogs do have to go out for a walk to go to the toilet, don't they? They're not used to. They might not have access to anything nearby or a backyard or anything. So little booties are the option. My grandmother used to knit little booties for me. I wish she was around. She could knit little booties for Lucas. Let's talk about cats. Are they at risk too, or is it mainly something that we see in dogs?
Oh, I'd say we don't see it very often. You know, cats are not dogs in the sense that they don't go gallivanting around a park on a hot day. They are, you know, if they're in a hot apartment or if you have an outage with your aircon or you have some situation where they're trapped in a hot space, we have seen those situations happen. This is actually a sad and wild example, but they can get heat stroke from getting trapped in dryers. We've had a number of cats, you'd be surprised, but they want to jump in that warm laundry that's maybe in an open dryer door. Maybe it gets shut, gets turned back on, etc. I've seen that probably 4 or 5 times. And you can just imagine how gut-wrenching that is.
Oh, that would be awful to see that. We're chatting with Paul and Nick from Ready Vet Go about heat, high-risk breeds, and why sometimes the transport can be the most dangerous moment for our pets. Let's talk about high-risk pets. We hear that bulldogs and pugs really struggle in the heat. Why are flat-faced breeds so vulnerable?
Yeah, so if we think about what those small airways look like for a French bulldog or smaller-faced pet, the airways are quite narrow. And so any sort of excessive panting, like we were talking about before in the heat, that can speed up that inflammation process. And so with that, they're unable to cool themselves down, because what they're doing is they can't sweat. So they're trying to cool themselves down, but with excessive panting. And then we get that overheating. It's something that happens a lot quicker with those sort of short-nosed pets.
Beyond those breeds, though, are there other pets that really need extra care once the weather turns hot?
I'd say the ones that are either a little bit heavy, maybe some of the obese pets in the world that are insulated. They've got that extra layer of fat or hair. Those long-haired breeds, you know, you think about your Huskies, your Arctic breeds, Samoyeds. Those dogs should be groomed really regularly, or even clipped down for the summer months. You know, chat to your local dog groomer about that. But one of the biggest risks, which Nick had mentioned already, is that, you know, you have people who see a sunny day and they just think, oh, let's, you know, get this wild idea that they can take their unconditioned dog on a long run, on a big walk in the sun. And it would be like us being couch potatoes and then deciding to go for a marathon.
No.
Anybody's going to be exhausted, and you have to condition yourself to it.
Okay. Now, also, just on that, I mean, there's no way I'm going to go for a walk around the block in 38 degrees, let alone run a marathon. Let's talk about the car ride itself. I mean, we think of cars, most of them air conditioned, et cetera, that they would be a safe place for our pets to hop into, come along with us somewhere. Why can it be the most dangerous moment?
I mean, it's the same thing with humans, right? Everyone's sort of been in a hot car, even for 30 seconds. And, you know, as a kid, mum and dad left it and you left the car and you're 30 seconds in and it starts to heat up. That temperature within the car is exponentially hotter than the outside environment. And it happens really quickly. So just plan ahead is what we would say. You know, if you keep the windows down, keep the car running, take the key with you. Most cars will accommodate for that today. But just really try to avoid that as much as possible, even if it is for a few minutes. You never know when you're going to get stopped for, you know, something pops up and you forget something, you run back in, it's another 10 minutes or so. So just be mindful of that.
I remember once my mother was transporting my dog down, going down the peninsula actually, and she said, "Oh, I'll take Fuzzy for a ride in the car with me." Anyway, she put her in the car, and her car broke down on the Mornington Peninsula Freeway, and she was so distressed about him being in the car. Fortunately, one of us was able to come along and pick him up and take him, and also rescue my mum as well. But these things were unexpected. We didn't expect that to happen. You think, no, it'll be a safe air-conditioned journey all the way down there. And sure enough, the engine overheated and she had to stop. A lot of people might think, you know, it's only a quick drive. I'm just going to the chemist. I'm going to duck in. I'm going to buy some eye drops or something and I'll be out. It won't matter. Why isn't that always safe?
Yeah, I'd say even just those quick trips on a mild day can put your pet at risk. And you can find a lot of these like infographics online. You probably see them circulating when it really is heat stroke season in Australia, where if you've got a 21, 24 degree day and it's sunny outside, that car is an oven and it's going to trap all that bright sunlight within that space. And despite it being really nice outside, that car can reach over 35 or 40 degrees within usually a 15 or 20 minute period if it's really bright or direct sun.
We're chatting with Paul and Nick from Ready Vet Go. Now, you run an ambulance service for pets. What's the difference between a pet hopping in your ambulance compared to hopping in someone's car?
There's actually not much difference, to be honest. We could just put anyone in there and if they were comfortable in a cage. I'd say that's really...
A lot of people probably would.
Yeah, I mean, there are some. No judgment. Just, yeah, whatever you enjoy. But look, it's the way that we've designed this service is to pretty much mirror Ambulance Victoria or any sort of human ambulance service. In fact, there is some equipment in our ambulance that you wouldn't even see in a human ambulance, which is great. And the reason why we've done that is to accommodate for those longer travels, because we are the only service in Melbourne that provides proper ambulance transport, and we don't have lights and sirens to speed through it. So it's very decked out. If you haven't seen it yet, go on to Nine now and you can watch our show and see just how decked out it is.
What are some of the best things we can do? You know, we've spoken about our pets overheating. Obviously, not putting them in cars is one thing, or taking them out for a walk when it's high heat. What are some of the best things we can do day to day that also prevent our pets from overheating?
Yeah, I'd say one of the biggest things is just making sure that they've got access to shade and to cool water, that they can hydrate themselves, that they have an escape from that direct sunlight or that heat. I mean, it's even better to be outdoors in the shade where there's that ambient sort of ventilation, the wind, some sort of air circulation that's going on. It's better for a pet to have that air-conditioned access to be able to go in and out of the house or be kept indoors when it's really prime summer. But even doing those daily things, like just conditioning your pet to be active in that warm weather as it starts to heat up, you know, getting out of hibernation mode from the winter, going on those walks, gradually bumping up that pace, and making sure that you keep them in a good weight, you know. And that's just like one of the things that we fall back on all the time. And we don't like to fat shame. We don't like to make people feel bad. No. We don't ever want anybody to feel guilty for giving some extra love via the food bowl. But extra weight equals a shorter lifespan for your pet and a higher risk of disease. And heat stroke is a big one.
I just got a message in saying, I absolutely have no worries about smashing a car window if I see a dog panting in it, especially in the heat.
I've told this before. We had a lady in my college town who would do that. She was a little old lady that went around with a baseball bat and would smash windows if she saw pets in cars. And she got arrested. And I don't think she got charged, but there are vigilante pet lovers out there. So you just watch out.
Now, Paul and Nick, if someone suspects their pet is in trouble from heat stress, what should we do immediately? What's the best thing to do and what's the worst thing to do?
I think what people tend to want to refer to, which is very understandable, is to put the coldest thing possible onto a pet in that situation, which is not what we want. If they're overheating, we don't want them to drop from a really high temperature to then drop that temperature really quickly. We need to do it gradually. So introducing some nice cold running water will help assist with that. I think another misconception is to get a wet towel and to put it onto the to the pet. But that can actually insulate the heat further. Despite it being wet, what it can do is actually entrap that heat. So we try to avoid that. So anything like a fan, aircon, running water, or something that's, you know, maybe from the fridge, as long as it's not too cold, and just introducing that into, say, the groin area or anywhere that's, you know, accessible and not too padded by the fur.
And when is it time to pick up the phone and call for an ambulance service like yourselves instead of just driving to the clinic?
So the biggest thing is if we see that a pet's really in distress in terms of their panting, if they're having a hard time catching their breath, or if their attitude seems really flat or dull, those are some of the first signs of shock. So anybody who's got a good set of eyes and is observant can identify shock. That's that change in their mentation, their level of consciousness. If they seem flatter than they should, if they're looking like they're really injected in their gums or they're panting, play it safe. Contact your local vet, contact ReadyVetGo. You can find our website and our contact number and even save it preemptively.
Now, if there's one simple thing finally that you'd like every pet owner to remember as the hot days roll in, because sure enough, even though it's cold, they will be here sooner than later. What's the one thing you'd like us all to know?
If you're thinking, you know, going out on a beach trip or somewhere where you don't have access to, you know, the cooling that we would want, or they're going to be exercising a lot, then go by the chemist and pick up one of those cooling packs. Keep some of them on hand if anything does pop up that might be distressing like that. But prevention's always what we're going to say. And it sounds like we're really doom and gloom on here. We're not, but, you know, we want people to have a good time during the hot weather. We want people to enjoy it, and we want pets to stay safe. And no one gets their pets into this situation deliberately. You know, everyone's always trying to look after their pet and give them the best time. And, it's just about being aware, and hopefully that's what we're bringing to people.
It's not doom and gloom. It's factual information, and we all need to know how to look after our little furry babies the best. So we always appreciate the advice. Paul and Nick from ReadyVetGo, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll catch you again next week.
Thank you, Warren.
Thanks, Warren.
Thank you. That's Paul and Nick from ReadyVetGo. You can find out more at readyvetgo.com.au. You can catch their TV show at ReadyVetGo streaming now on 9 Now. And perfect reminders to keep our furry family safe this summer.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.